Morning, church, and welcome to Sunday service. I think you all know C.S. Lewis, and he's a well-known voice in Christianity that we can really heed to. And he said the following: God can't give us peace and happiness apart from himself, because there is no such thing. And yes, you've got it right. This morning we'll be chatting about peace as a fruit of the Holy Spirit that all of us can and should be bearing in life. And so please join me as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit, and as we open up our lives, as we are authentic and real and trust that the Holy Spirit will do amazing work in our lives, and that we can honestly be a people of peace. As we will see this morning, it is a peace that is from the inside out, and definitely not one from the outside in. But quickly pray with me. Open up your hearts, and let the Word minister to you, because it's the Word of God that changes us. It's the Word of God with the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, that really changes lives. And I need it, and I trust that you need it as well today. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time together. Thank you, Father, for a mighty work in us, your children. Lord, we give our lives to you. We come and lay down our lives to you again. Lord, we're honest about where we're at, and we want to be a people of peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Lord, it's also a peace that guards us, that protects us. And so, Lord, may we just have revelation of this protecting peace that a good Father, that the Prince of Peace, and that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. And that we'll be sensitive in discerning this protective peace of God in our lives, in Jesus' name. Lord, have a mighty moment with each and everyone that listens to this. Lord, have a mighty moment, not with me, not with my words, Lord, but with you, the lover of our souls, the one and only true God. Lord, may we have a moment with the Prince of Peace today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'm thankful that the Lord's presence is with you, and that the Holy Spirit is there to guide us and to teach us. We said we want to journey together. We're going to take small steps now and again, maybe a couple of leaps for some people. But we want to journey together, and we want to know the Holy Spirit. We want to be in the know and not just know about. And so I'm trusting that you are reflecting, that you are seeking the Lord, and that you're inviting the Holy Spirit into your everyday life, not only on a Sunday, but every day and everyday life. And so, according to C.S., only God can give us true joy, happiness, and then this peace. Only God can give us this peace. And I think it's very evident today. We're quickly going to look at three things. We're going to see that peace, again, is relational. Secondly, we need to bear the peace of the Holy Spirit inside out. And then thirdly, we need to be seekers of peace with the people around us. But there's a bit of a caveat. There's a bit of a caution or condition to that as well. But we'll look at that shortly. So it's the three things we're going to look at. We need to be a people of peace relationally with the Lord. Secondly, bear the peace inside out. So it needs to be in my inside before I start manifesting and walking it out on the outside, true peace. And then thirdly, we need to seek peace with other people. So it's easy to remember, it's easy to reflect on, and I believe it's easy with the Word, the Spirit, and accountability, those that love you around you, to really make this part of your life, if not yet. And so please join me as we do this. And now, I've dropped the word relationship quite often in our series, and still, I believe it is paramount. That as we saw last week in John 15, we need to be connected to the vine. Remain in me, the Lord says. Remain in me. And so it's from that relational place that we can bear the fruit of peace. John 15, last week said the following: remain in me, or abide in me, as I also remain in you. So it's this beautiful relationship with Christ. And we know through Christ today in this age, through the Holy Spirit that is with us the whole time. So it's being connected to the Holy Spirit. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So this is going to be our foundation when looking at the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Go look at it again. And so when we want to bear fruit, we know it is through connection and relationship. And we know it's through relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. In other words, Jesus' Holy Spirit is with me. And so, jumping from there, if I look at Isaiah 6:9, I see there's a couple of names given to Jesus. And you'll remember that this beautiful prophecy in Isaiah where it says, and to you will be born, and then eventually it gets to the place saying that he will be the Prince of Peace. Now I want to quickly stop there and say, do you really know the Prince of Peace? Is Jesus, is liewe Jesus, for jou en for my, regtig the Prince of Peace? Is he really the Prince of Peace in your life? And so because his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is with you, the Spirit of the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 6:9, remember that. The Spirit of the Prince of Peace is with you. And so again, I don't believe we've got much of an excuse not to be a people that bear the fruit of peace. But we need to take the hand of the Prince of Peace. I need to invite him in. You remember the disciples in the boat with the storm. Jesus asleep. The Prince of Peace asleep. They're thinking that they're going to die, and they wake him up and say, don't you care that we're going to die? Using my own words. And he rebukes them slight bit and says, well, where's your faith? He calms the winds and the waves, and then they reflect and they think, wow, who is this guy? Who is this Prince of Peace that even the winds and the waves abides and listens to him? Even the winds and the waves says, yes, Lord, when the Prince of Peace speaks. And so if I really want peace in my life, I need to get hold of the hand, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, get hold of the hand of the Prince of Peace and say, I want to do this with you. I want to walk with you. I want to get into this situation with you. I want to get into this relationship with you. I want to get into this mess with you. I want to get into this career, get into this job, get into this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with you, Prince of Peace. So that it's from my life, relationally, I will also be a peace bearer. Now, I jokingly thought of it in this week, if in the windy parts of our country, if there's a tree standing and he's just flapping its branches and not really in a place of rest, a beautiful white dove will not come and rest upon those branches if it's just flapping in the air. And I think often that's what we look like, is just flapping everywhere. But for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Prince of Peace, to really come and rest upon us so that we can acknowledge and see him and experience him and hear from him, we also need to quiet down ourselves. Be still and say, Lord, come. Come relationally, come and speak. Come and speak into my life. So what does it practically look like to have this relationship, once again, with the Spirit of the Prince of Peace, the Holy Spirit? Very simply, communication, connection, trust, 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 trust. Now, let's be honest, in any friendship, in any connection, trust is not automatically there. We're in a broken, sinful world. And likewise, when it comes to God and His things, and having this relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, we need to grow in trust. And so I want to invite you, grow in trust. Grow in trust. And we only grow in trust if we've grown in connection upon connection upon connection. With good connection, there's unity. And from unity, trust is birthed and grown in all of our lives. But as I said, the first C, or the first very important word there, is communication. And so you cannot say that you're walking a road with the Prince of Peace. You cannot trust to have the fruit of peace in your life unless you communicate and unless you walk this road with the Lord daily. Invite him in to your everyday life. John 14:27, Jesus said the following, peace I leave with you. So he's not only the Prince of Peace, but he says, I leave peace with you. We now know how he does that. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. That's very important to remember. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, through the Holy Spirit, gives peace, but he does not give that peace the way the world does that. So we need to reflect, stand still, relationally take the hand. Say, am I trying to get peace from other stuff? That's not you, Jesus. That's not you, Holy Spirit. Do I want to have this peace in my heart and bear the fruit of peace in my life in every area? But I'm trusting in the things of this world. And then he ends off that part of the verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And so he says, hey, chill, take my hand. I am the one that is peace, give peace, and leave my peace with you. But I don't give it the way the world does that. So I'm constantly convicted. If I look to control my circumstances, to know everything and have knowledge about everything, I'm convicted that no, I need to take the hand of the one that does know, the one that is peace, gives peace through his Spirit, and walks this road with me. And so it's relational. It's through communication, trust, unity, connection. This beautiful, I want to almost say messy relationship that you can have with the Lord daily, 24/7. It's not boxed in. It's just a way of inviting him and letting him into every part of your life. And so it's relational. And then secondly, I believe true peace comes from righteousness. In other words, right standing. Knowing that I am right with God. Every single human being, you might not acknowledge it, but I know in our deepest hearts is that place where if we're not connected, if we're not in right standing with God, we cannot have true peace. And so every person, I believe, is seeking out that peace, to know that I'm right with God and in right standing with God. And you already know how that is. It is only by the blood of Christ. We can't stand still on this point, but it's so important to remember it's only by the grace and the blood of Christ that my peace was bought. And even today, even every single time that I might feel that I'm not within right standing with the Lord, it is by the blood, it is by trusting in Christ, by turning to the Alpha and the Omega, by saying that he paid the perfect price, I am forgiven, that right standing is returned. I can enter boldly into the presence of my Father, and I can see and I can look up and I can see his smile at me and you because of Christ. And I know, hey man, we're good. There's right standing. And the moment I know that we're good, there's peace in my heart. And so you might be in this constant battle for peace, looking for it every single day in all different areas and things of life. And yet he says, come to me through Jesus, through the blood, obtaining your freedom and your peace. Come to me, and in that place where you stand in his presence again and you see his smiles and he loves, he's not condemning, he pulls you close. It is in that place where peace just settles in your heart, wholeness and peace just settles in your heart. And so right standing, righteousness is also very key for relationship in having this fruit of the Spirit. And so we can test that daily. Do I feel all right with God? Are we okay? Lord, are we okay? I think in every friendship, in every relationship or marriage, you can look each other in the eye, you can have a coffee and just quickly check in. Are we okay? And if there's unity, there's trust. And from trust, this relationship can grow. But it cannot grow if there's not communication, if there's not connection, if there's not unity, and if there's not trust. But righteousness, the blood of Christ, just restores that. Whenever we feel out of whack, out of sync, we just chat to God and say, Lord, are we okay? Said with respect. And so that is the place where you can have peace. So it's relational, taking the hand of the Prince of Peace. Secondly, it is right standing, righteousness, bought by Jesus through faith, that we can say, hey, I've got peace because me and God, we are okay. Every single person under the sun needs that, and I believe has that yearning and that hunger in their heart, and need that right standing with God. I, in fact, just in vulnerability yesterday morning, I was preparing again for this message, and but I needed to be honest. There's one or two red flags I often see, or now and again see in my life, and that just shows that maybe there's still a bit of pain just floating around in my soul. In other words, I'm bleeding, so to speak. Now, I've been to 2 or 3 years where there's been a couple of big hits and the enemy don't like us, and obviously we're still working of sanctification, having to work out our salvation with the Lord, and so life is process, but in that you also suffer some loss, some disappointment, my mom's death, and a bunch of things, and so before I got into the sermon, and before I got into preparation, I needed to stop, relationally take the hand of the Prince of Peace and say, hey, I noticed stuff in my life, and I think there's still pain and disappointment. Even somebody prophesied over me in accountability saying, hey man, the Lord wants to deal with disappointment. And I'm just being very honest. This is life and it's full of bumps and bruises. I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to camp there. I'm not saying, hey guys, let's make that our identity. But when we do sense pain, when we do see the flags in our life that there might be pain, a bit of bleeding and disappointment, we need to stop. Not shy away from Christ, not shy away from God and face Him and face ourselves, face our situation, be honest and say, hey, there's not the fruit of peace in my heart. How can I go prepare a sermon about peace if I'm not honest of what I see now and again just rearing his head in my life? And so I sat down and said, Lord, okay, cool. I acknowledge there's still a bit of pain, and because of that and from that, I believe there's also disappointment. So, Lord, can we chat about this? And I invited somebody in and just shared that with them. And it was amazing how a release just came in, just being honest of where I had the peace restored. Am I all sorted out all of this? No, I think it's a process, especially with the loss of loved ones and major disappointments. It's sometimes a process, but being honest about the process, taking the hand of the Prince of Peace, and then who's the Holy Spirit again? The Counselor, the Advocate, but also the one that comes and comforts us again. And so the comfort and the peace of the Holy Spirit came back when I was honest about it. And so I want to invite you to do that. Just take from this testimony. If you notice things, don't just brush it off. Don't just run on. If you've got a bit of a hammy strain, if you're a runner and you don't attend to it, you don't stretch, you don't attend to that resting up, you're going to not finish your race. And I want us all to finish our race and having this peace and right standing and honest relationship helps us to finish our races if we stop and deal with it. And so peace is relational. Please stay in relationship with the Lord to bear peace. What is peace? Just quickly, Oxford Dictionary says freedom from disturbance or tranquility. That's what the world firstly says. It's not having a pina colada on the beach. It's not a beautiful destination or a beautiful sunset. It's not even a bride. Yes, you've heard me right. It's not even a bride. Real peace is not stuff on the outside. It is something on the inside. And so let's look at the Hebrew meaning, shalom. And you all have heard the word shalom. And so the Hebrew for peace is just to say shalom. It's only not only a greeting, but it's also that experience. And in fact, if you go read up on it, it is more than words. And it is an experience that is more than words. I cannot explain and put handles on what exactly peace is, but I know you know what peace is because of the lack thereof. I often know that I don't have peace, and then I can return to that place of absolute peace. So the Hebrew meaning for peace is shalom, being completeness, soundness, welfare, and peace. Completeness. I hear being satisfied, fulfilled, and content there. So if we want to be in a true place of shalom, of peace, of God, it's going to be that you feel complete, that you sound at heart, that there's welfare and that there's peace. There's lots of other health, welfare, safety, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, etc. But I think we all know what it feels like to have that absolute peace of God. And I pray if you're not there, that you'll be honest. Say, Lord, am I in right standing? Are we being honest? Are we okay? Taking the hold of the Prince of Peace and saying, maybe I've not invited you into this part or all parts of my life, but I want to have peace again. Which brings me to the second point. Bearing the fruit of peace is an inside-out matter. I'm going to just drop a couple of statements, but I believe these statements being biblical, will speak into your heart and then will also test the peace that you maybe yearning after. Or maybe you look at the Holy Spirit and say, well, I don't bear the fruit of peace. And so let's reflect on these couple of statements that's from the Word indirectly so that we can be a people of peace. Firstly, peace is a fruit of the Spirit that we know. It's a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, peace is not a fruit of the flesh. Peace is not a fruit of your flesh. What's the flesh again? It's when we try to have life sorted out and being connected and being satisfied and being fulfilled and being happy without God. Doing the things of the flesh without God, being fulfilled without God, and it's impossible. And so peace is not a fruit of the flesh. So that's impossible. Peace is supernatural. Listen up. Peace, real biblical godly peace is supernatural. Peace is spiritual and not circumstantial. Peace is spiritual and not circumstantial. So now you can think, well, I hate my circumstance. I hate where I live. I hate this. I hate that. I don't like this. I don't like that. But I want to say to you, peace is spiritual, not circumstantial. It's not easy necessarily. I'm not saying it's easy to get to that place of revelation where that revelation becomes an absolute truth where you live it out. It's not easy. It's a process. But this is the honest biblical truth. True peace is spiritual, not circumstantial. Peace stems from the unseen, not from the seen. Peace stems from the unseen, not from the seen. And again, now this is a bit counterintuitive. It's countercultural. I so desperately want to have peace in the here and the now and the material stuff and the things that I control around me. But yet, peace is from the unseen, not the seen. And so you can now start seeing that peace comes from the inside. I need to have peace, wholeness, completeness here in my heart before I can start living that out. And I need to be honest about that. And so, if I say peace is based on the unseen, not the seen, you can immediately realize that peace is from a place where we have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. When do I have peace? I have peace when I have faith. When do I have faith? I have faith when I know what he's saying. That's very, very simple. When I know in my heart of hearts, in other words, in my spirit man, I'm facing a situation, I'm facing a storm, I'm facing a mountain. I don't have peace, no peace whatsoever, not even the peace of the world, not even peace of the flesh. I need to stand still. I need to know what is the truth for in the unseen. In other words, what is God saying? And the moment he speaks, the moment faith comes by the hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. In other words, the moment he speaks, he gives his father heart opinion. The moment the Prince of Peace speaks over my situation, he ramas that in my heart. I've got a faith handle again to stand. Peace returns to my soul. And so I'm facing this mountain. I'm just saying, Dad, what are you saying about it? Prince of Peace, what do you say about this storm? And he speaks into my heart. Boom. Peace returns. He might not have changed the mountain. Now the storm might be raging, still raging on the outside. But I now know what my God, what the Prince of Peace is saying about the situation. And childlike, I can return to peace again. That's how you carry the fruit of peace. That is how you relationally carry the fruit of peace. And that is how the fruit of peace comes from the inside out and not from the outside in. He doesn't always come and change the mountain, hush the storm, take away the fire, fix everything, and then peace returns to my heart. No, in the mess he comes and he speaks life. In the mess he comes and says, this is what your God is saying, you're okay. This is what your God is saying, you're in right standing. This is what I'm saying about this situation, trust me. And the more I grow in this relationship, peace returns to my heart. I realize it's spiritual again, not circumstantial. And then peace returns to my heart, and then I can move in peace. Have you seen people facing the same challenge, the same mountain, the same storm? One freaking, totally freaking out, and the other one just going their merry way? It is because the one has learned the grace of the peace of Christ on their inside, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of peace on their inside, and the other maybe not, trusting that the circumstances need to change before peace returns. I want to implore you, it's not the circumstances that need to change. It is hearing his voice again, knowing what he is saying, and asking him what his opinion is that will bring the change. So some people want to know the storm. They want to understand the storm. What is the storm? What is the waves? How big is the waves? And they want to understand the storm because in that control, they're trying to get back to their peace. Other people want to know, where did the storm come from? What is the origin of the storm? Because once I know where it's from, I can have peace. I want to say, I believe biblically speaking, we just need to know the God that is above all storms. Just get to know the God that is above all storms. Just get to know the Prince of Peace that is above all storms. The Holy Spirit that is above and bigger and greater than all storms. And then you'll have true peace. And so with Corona, with COVID-19, some people want to know, where's it going? What's the trajectory? What's the this, that, and the other? I'm not being cynical. I'm not being rude either. But they want to understand this storm. They want to understand the sickness, understand every single thing about it, and thinking that in that you will have peace again and safety. No, I don't believe. Or where did it come from? Did it come from a lab? Did it come from this, that, or the other? I want to just say childlikely, in love, maybe we should relax and say, I want to get to know the God that is above this storm, the God that is above this pandemic, better than I want to know this pandemic. I want to know again the hand that is greater than this sickness. I want to know Him again. And what does He say? And what does His word say? And what does He whisper to me in this pandemic? And then peace returns to my heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. Other translation says, acknowledge Him in all your ways. In other words, in everything, like a child, in everything, acknowledge Him. In every single thing, and He will make your path straight. You know, you want to have a safe path in life? Don't lean on your own understanding. I'm not saying let's be stupid, let's put our head in the sand. God gives us knowledge, He gives us the grace to understand things, but it needs to be subject to being led by the Spirit. Not soul, not knowledge, puffed up, being higher and running after that. And second to that, asking the Holy Spirit and the Prince of Peace now again. No. Putting Christ, the Prince of Peace, upon His throne of your life. Asking Him and His Holy Spirit through the Word and His grace to lead you. And subject to that, yes, have knowledge. Be practically wise. But don't have it mixed up, because you can't have peace if we get that mixed up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. He will give you peace. So in this world, maybe, it is said wrongly that peace will come from having perfect knowledge, perfect understanding, and control over every situation. For a child of God, it's flipped upside down. It is knowing the One that has perfect understanding, infinite knowledge, has absolute control over all mankind, in the bigger sense of the word, and trusting Him relationally, and then having peace. What did Jesus say? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. I do not give you always full understanding, full control, and full knowledge of everything, but I give you myself, and I'm telling you, I know. I'm telling you, you're going to be okay. I'm telling you, this is the truth of this situation. Here is my opinion. Do you trust it? Because from his breath, from His life-giving opinion into our spirit on the inside, peace can return. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Again, this word everything. Remember, with your whole heart, trust Him. Here again, with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In other words, pray, communicate, chat, and let Him talk to you back. Let Him speak into the storm. Let Him speak to the mountain. Communicate with Him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, saying, Lord, thank you, you know, I don't have to know. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Wow! What a promise! But also, wow, what a chunky piece of scripture. I want us just to take this home. Don't be anxious about anything, guys, especially in this season, but in every season. Talk to God through prayer and thanksgiving, saying, Lord, you already know. You're in control. You're good. I know your character. I've made up my mind. I know who you are. Make your requests known to Him. And then what does He give you? He gives you peace. Peace is spiritual. It's supernatural. It's from the inside firstly, not from the outside. He gives you peace, which does what? It protects. It protects both your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Where's the battle often? In the mind and in the heart. Where's the wars raging often? More than even on the outside. in your head and in your heart. But he says, I can win this war. Listen to me. I can give you a peace that's like a protection over your head and a protection over your heart. My peace, knowing that I'm good, that I'm in control, that I know the future, that I've got your good intended. And yes, it might not always be easy, but that I'm for you and not against you. That peace is one that protects both the heart and the mind. And so in this process, we need to now discern what is God doing, what is he saying, and we need to constantly discern what is of God and what is not of God. I believe discernment as a theme is so important. Now, we're going to do a separate sermon or two even on discernment, because I believe it's something that often lack in our Christianity and can lead to so much destruction, because the word says that even in the last days, the elect can be deceived or will be deceived. And I don't want us to fall into those traps. And so we need to discern well. What is discernment? It's just to test. Is something the truth? Is something of God or is it not? And so we need to discern. Just quickly, just to remember this for the next time, the word says, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Examine everything. So in all things acknowledge the Lord, we've heard. Acknowledge him in all your ways with your whole heart. And then he also says, the word says, examine everything carefully. So we constantly need to discern, test, spiritually. Is this of God? Can I take this in? Is this truth? And will it lead to peace? Constantly. But we can look at that at another stage. 1 John 4, 1 says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so discernment per se is so important when we want to be a people that bears the fruit of peace. But we will connect on that at a later stage. And the last thing for today is we need to seek the fruit of peace, the Holy Spirit fruit of peace with other people. We need that. So firstly, we said it's relational with God. So there's a vertical axis to our bearing fruit of peace in our lives. Namely, I need to have peace and right standing with God. It's relational with the Prince of Peace. Yes? And then secondly, it's an inside out matter. So he needs to come and speak into my life that I can know what he's saying. But then thirdly, horizontally, I need to have peace with other people. You know, the first two commands is love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. And so these two work hand in hand. I need to pursue peace with other people as well. Can't just pursue peace with God and not with my fellow brothers and sisters. 1 Peter 3 reads as follows. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another. There's a good key. Love one another. Now, love will pursue godly peace. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. And now there's a good key for me, how to pursue and love on my neighbors. Be careful of my tongue. I've not always gotten this right, but I have the Holy Spirit to help me in discerning and say, well, be careful, bite your tongue, repent of those words, even withdraw those words, or be careful to say such a thing, because that is not what God is saying about a situation or a person. Verse 11, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. So we need to seek out peace. How can I have peace with those in my home? How can I have peace with those at work, those in my street, those in my community, those in my church? How can I constantly seek peace to be a fruit bearer of peace? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so it's evil to speak things that are not of God. It is evil not to be a pursuer and a seeker of peace. It is evil not to love other people. And so to have the fruit of peace, it's not just between me and God. It's not having that right standing. Because in fact, it is impossible, I believe, to have true right standing with God if I don't also pursue love and right standing with my brothers and sisters. James 3:18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness? Are you just seeing destruction and anxiety and brokenness all over in your relationships in your life? Maybe step back and say, Lord, have I been sowing peace in all of my relationships? I myself am convicted even as I say that. Take stock and say, sorry, Lord, for where I've not been sowing. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, listen up, guys. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, in other words, it might be dependent upon somebody else as well, and you can't choose for them. If it is possible, as far as it is depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends upon you, live in peace with everyone. So there, we see that it is clear that we need to seek peace in love and love on our neighbors, but we need to be careful because not all peace and seeking peace will be reciprocated, and that's okay. That is okay, but we can try. And so we need to, as far as possible, seek peace with everyone. But yet there's a bit of a caveat, there's a condition, I believe, and here it is so important. And it just shows how important it is to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be true peace. And that is that not in all circumstances can we have peace with everybody. Now, at the same time, we need to be humble when we approach this. But let's quickly look at what Jesus said in Matthew 10, because it's not in contrast. But it's in a beautiful working together with the rest of Scripture that he says the following. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth in totality, necessarily for everyone. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. He's the Prince of Peace saying, I've come not to give peace everywhere or every time, but I've come with a sword. And the Amplified said, of division between belief and unbelief, having faith and no faith, having faith in Christ, being a Christ follower and not. And so there is distinction between light and darkness. There is distinction brought and no peace between light and darkness, belief and unbelief, faith and having no faith. Verse 35, for I have come to set man against his father. Whoa. A daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. When one believes and another does not. In other words, kingdoms will collide. You cannot always have peace between the kingdom, or you can never have peace between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven, between light and darkness, because between Christ and what is of the Antichrist, between that who says Jesus is Lord and those that does not say Jesus is Lord. And so discernment is so important. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So this is quite interesting. So he says, seek peace. We need to seek peace and love on other people. But then Romans says, hey, as far as possible, seek peace. And then lastly, Jesus says, I don't always call for peace. Sometimes when it's a kingdom matter, when it's a matter of eternity, when it's a matter of my kingship, of my lordship, there will not always be peace. You cannot always pursue peace. We can love people, but we cannot always have peace with them if it's a matter of Christ. And so quickly, how to unpack that? I believe I can have peace, firstly, vertically, if I take the hand of Christ. Listen to what he says. Learn from him and let him follow me. So I take the hand of the Prince of Peace. But now I'm also seeking peace with my neighbors, with other people. I cannot stretch so far that I need to let go of the hand of the Prince of Peace, of truth, the Alpha, the Omega, the way, the truth, and the life. I cannot let go of him, lose peace with him to gain peace with another. That's what I believe is so important for us to remember. That we need to discern. Can I still have peace with Jesus and seek peace, connection, communication, and trust with this person, with this neighbor? Can I still have both? Because the moment I leave this hand with Jesus and I take that hand to pursue peace, it's a peace of the flesh. It's not a peace of God. It's not a biblical peace. It's maybe an appeasing of man, but it's no longer a peace that comes from the fear of the Lord. It's no longer a peace that is of the Spirit of God. It is no longer truthfully, authentically, biblically peace. Because tradition will call you to take the hand of mother, father, brother, do what they say, seek peace with them at the cost of the hand of the Prince of Peace. And that's just the scheme of the enemy. I'm not saying hate people and just hold on to his hand. No, it's this beautiful working together of holding his hand, having peace with him, and loving on others and pursuing peace with them. But you cannot ever pursue peace with man at the cost of the peace of God. Now, we need to also be careful, because where is sects and other weird and wonderful, not so wonderful things born? It's when people think they've got peace with God and they couldn't care less about other people, but they're actually deceived. This is not the Prince of Peace. It's tested by the Word of God. It's tested by the fruit of it. And it's tested by fellow believers to which we can be accountable to. I'm believing this thing. This is what the Lord has called me. He's called me out to do X, Y, and Z. I'm trusting that it is Him. Can you guys affirm? Do you have peace in your heart about it? Yes, that's God. Okay, well, it's going to come at the cost of these relationships. There's not going to be peace in these relationships. It is okay. Because we need to firstly have Him as Lord. But as far as we can, as far as possible, take the hand of the Prince of Peace, and then also pursue to take the hands of peace of brothers and sisters in your life, and to seek peace with others. I really trust that the Holy Spirit will break that open, because I believe it's a false yoke that often comes. Trying to please people, or having maybe, as I've had before, a people-pleasing heart or people-pleasing spirit. And then we want to please people and walk in the fear of man at the cost of the fear of God. And He says, no, no, no. If you love anybody more than me, you cannot have a part of me. And that's important. And so please have peace, and seeking peace with others in biblical context. There's a bit of a tension, so to speak, between the two. And the Holy Spirit will help us to walk that out. So what's the three things that we're going to remember today? Peace, having the peace of the Holy Spirit is relational. We can only bear it if we're connected to the vine. If we say, hey, are we okay? Are we in right standing, Lord? And communicate, connect, unity and trust. Secondly, it's inside out. You need to win the war of peace on your inside. Because then God gives you a peace that surpasses understanding to guard both your heart and your mind. So it's a protection, this peace. Lord, where's your peace? Am I in your peace in this friendship? Am I in your peace in this job? Am I with you bearing the fruit of your peace in going out for dinner or whatever? So seek Him and invite Him into everything so that He can lead you through this peace from the inside out. And then lastly, let's seek peace with others. As far as possible, but in a biblical way, not ever letting go of the kingdom, not ever letting go of the hand of the Prince of Peace. We've shared a lots of stuff. I pray that the Holy Spirit will break this open. If you've got any questions, let us know. Love to journey with you. It's something that I'm really passionate about. And something that the Lord uses in my life to discern and to follow Him. And I don't always get it right, but luckily I've got the Word of God and I've got fellow believers to bounce it off and say, do you sense the same thing? Can you also attest to the peace of God concerning this matter that I'm sharing? And I want to invite you, please make other people, fruit-bearing Christians, part of your life, your decision-making, your journeying, so that we can discern Him well in perilous times, that we can hear Him well in perilous times, and that we can truly have peace in storms, before mountains, on the top of mountains, but also in the valleys, that we can be a people of peace. Because the Prince of Peace, the Good Shepherd, wants to lead you in all peace every day. So I pray that for you. I'm going to pray these two scriptures over us as we close. Lord, thank you for Colossians 3:15 that says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Lord, I pray it over every single person that receives this. Lord, thank you that the peace of Christ will rule in your hearts again and expel anything that is unbelief, that is not of God, and that does not produce fruit of peace. And secondly, Lord, thank you. Your word also says, now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times, in every way. At all times, in every way. The Lord will be with all of you. And that's my prayer, Lord, today. May the peace of the Lord Himself give us peace at all times and in every way. At all times and in every way. Lord, I lift up ourselves to you, Lord. And we say, Lord, thank you for the gift of peace. It's spiritual, not circumstantial. It is of God and of His Spirit, not of the world, not of the flesh, not of control. We lay down our control. We lay down wanting to be in control and having full knowledge and foreknowledge of the future. We lay down, we become childlike again and say, Lord, we're needed in areas of our lives. Come and speak and return our hearts to peace again. In all times, for all things, Lord, return peace to our hearts. Holy Spirit, thank you that you will come, as we've said, and take the hand of every single person, and in every area, lead us back to peace. If there's repentance needed, lead us to repentance. If there's a cutting away, let us cut away. If there's change or discipline, or sometimes just healing and being honest about a wound in our soul, whatever it is, lead us back to perfect peace so that we can be a people of peace. And I thank you for that. Thank you for a release just of your peace into the heart and to the families of those who listen to this message. Just thank you for a release of the peace of God. Thank you, Christ. You are peace. You are our peace. But you left us with your peace through your Spirit. I just ask for a full release of the peace of God through His Holy Spirit in all of our lives, supernaturally, but also that He will help us to cultivate and be a people that seek peace and bear peace. Seek peace and bear peace. Because we really have an authentic relationship with the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Peace, peace, peace to you. I speak peace over the storms in hearts. I speak peace. I speak truth. I speak the Word of God. I speak fresh revelation, prophetic insight over every single storm in raging in hearts. God, speak. Prince of Peace, speak. Bring peace again. Right standing again. Truth again. Light again. Lord, wherever we're trying to have peace with other people at the cost of peace with you, convict us and bring us back to the peace with God firstly. And then as far as we might stretch in love, biblically speaking, may we have peace with other people. In Jesus' name. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Trust that there's life in there. I trust that you will feed on the Word, that the Word and encountering the Lord will change our lives, and that we'll be sensitive, not throwing away, not neglecting the peace of the Lord. Have an amazing week, a peace-filled week, and move from peace with the Lord. God bless. Bye.